afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you on this Texas Independence Day. That's right, it is the 2nd of March, 2026. That's Texas Independence Day, commemorating the day in 1836 that the Texans declared eternal hostility over the tyranny of Santa Anna. And I feel like we're due another one. I feel like it's time for another Declaration of Independence. You could say the second Declaration of Independence of America from control of a foreign power. It is, of course, day three of the great debacle, the grand debacle of our time, the Iran War, the stupidest thing America has ever done. And we're going to get into it. I got too much information to get into. We're going to be joined by Brandon Weikert in the second hour. He's an expert on this stuff. We're going to continue to break it down with him. I've just got so many videos and stories, and it's just completely insane. So we'll try to cover the latest here up front. Brandon Weikert joins us in the second hour for some strategic breakdown, and then the third hour I will be taking your calls and discussing this with you. Let's get into it like we do every day with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 2nd of March, 2026. Trump launches war with Iran for Israel, says U.S. service members may die. That's the headline from Chris Minahan at Information Liberation. I think he gets it all included right there. Trump launches war with Iran for Israel, says U.S. service members may die. And he's made more statements since then, but that's how the operation got kicked off on Friday evening. As we predicted, of course, it's not that hard to figure out. It just is that insane that we literally launched what could well become, I mean, it already is World War III, essentially, but you know, it could become like the apocalyptic battle that ends the world on a Friday evening, because we wanted to really minimize the effects of the stock market, which I think is a stupid way to make decisions when you're talking about war. Three U.S. F-15s involved in friendly fire incident in Kuwait, apparently. We have some questions about whether this is legitimate or whether they're trying to cover up for the fact that Iran may have capabilities we were not prepared for. But according to the official report, at 11.03 p.m. March 1st, three U.S. F-15E Strike Eagles flying in support of Operation Epic Fury went down over Kuwait due to an apparent friendly fire incident during active combat. That included attacks from Iranian aircraft, ballistic missiles, and drones. U.S. Air Force fighter jets were mistakenly shot down by Kuwaiti air defenses. Prince Reza Pahlavi says he wants to lead Iran in a transition to democracy. Now, I included this story in here not because it's going to happen or is particularly important. Rather, the opposite. Rather, this represents the absurdity of what the hell are we talking about right now. Reza Pahlavi is going to lead Iran in a transition to democracy, that I am more likely to do that. I am more likely to lead Iran than Reza Pahlavi. So that just shows you how absurd this whole thing is. From AP News, war in Mideast widens as Trump says Iran strikes could go on for weeks. He's saying 4 weeks. I think it'd be, I'll give you the breakdown. But this headline, I think, is the headline of the day right here. From War Monitor, the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange closes its strongest day since the corona pandemic nearly 6 years ago. That's a hell of a headline right there. The Tel Aviv Stock Exchange, and the American Stock Exchange is down because war and rumors of war usually means disruption in services. It usually means customers not getting what they ordered directly on time. Oil, of course, is going to be a big issue. That's going to cause delays and of course, with drop in stock markets. Somehow the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange had its strongest day in 6 years since the outbreak of the corona pandemic, which I think says a lot. To me, that sounds like it says a lot. You got people around the world thinking this is a disaster, but Tel Aviv's making money out of it. They think it's going to be a great windfall of profits. We'll get into everything that's happened here on the other side. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live at this Monday evening. It's been 3 days since Israel launched an attack on Iran, followed swiftly by America joining in. And it's become massive. It has become an absolutely massive conflagration, like of course it would. Like everybody knew that it would. And I don't even know what to say at this point. I mean, obviously this is like the stupidest thing Trump has ever done. Israel is getting just blasted relentlessly. They don't seem to be too worried about it. I could show you lots of videos of Iranian missiles doing massive damage. Iran seems to have the upper hand, as far as I can tell at this point, considering the fact that the American bombing raids are bombing allegedly police stations. Certainly they bombed a child school. They're basically carpet bombing Tehran right now. And just bombing lots of civilian areas, whereas Iran seems to be taking a strategic tack, going after first all of the radar bases in order to blind American and Israeli defenses, and they're able to achieve this with a total inequality of cost, where they're using dirt-cheap drones to force us to waste our very precious and in low supply and extremely expensive interceptor missiles. They have not released their biggest missiles. They have launched missiles that Israeli defenses were not prepared for. I mean, already in the last 3 days, we've seen deployment of some crazy technology. Iranian hypersonic missiles seemingly changing directions 90 degrees in a single instant. Cluster munitions that Iran is using, where you have a sort of a swarm of smaller projectiles in order to distract and, you know, waste the ammo of the interceptors while the main payload gets delivered outright. There's also just been video after video of like very slow moving, about minivan sized Iranian drones, one of which seemingly took out a $1.5 billion radar array by smashing into it. And now Trump says he will not rule out sending U.S. troops into Iran if necessary. So as of yet, and at this moment, allegedly, according to all official reports, we have not put boots on the ground in Iran. But what is the plan here? What exactly is our goal in all of this? That has not been laid out. That has not even really been discussed. Anytime it has been, it's completely incoherent and contradictory. It is like shocking that we're even in this situation right now. And I'm really having a hard time figuring out exactly who's screwing who over and who's lying to who. Obviously, we had massive success in decapitating much of the Iranian regime, killed Khamenei, killed apparently 49 of his underlings. But Iran was prepared for that, and they have a decentralized node cluster, you know, cellular independent strategy that allows their commanders to make battlefield decisions totally outside of the chain of command. There's 90 million people, or more in Iran. It's like 10 times more than live in Iraq. What exactly is the goal here? What exactly is the ultimate, like, when will we have victory? When will Donald Trump go and give a speech on an aircraft carrier with a mission accomplished banner? What does that look like exactly? How did we get here? And what do we do now? These are the questions that we need answered. And in fact, Tucker Carlson just came out with a pretty long report about this. I want to play like the first 5 minutes or so because he lays out what we all know, which is this is a war for Israel and it's for their benefit. And really the only question is, how did they get Trump to go along with this? Because he, from my interpretation, again, there's a lot of conflicting information. It's hard to take anything at face value. Trump is saying, you know, this is fine. We're actually ahead of schedule. We plan on this taking 4 weeks. It looks like, you know, things are going better than expected. I see, you know, Israel putting out reports saying there's only a dozen missile launchers left in Iran. And it's just like, I don't believe any of that. Just from my bird's eye view interpretation, it seems to me, from everything I've heard, it seems to me that somebody convinced Trump that this would be Venezuela 2.0. That at this point, right, afternoon on Monday, he'd be giving the speech of, yes, we did it again, folks. We did it again. We decapitated the evil regime and they folded completely and wanted to negotiate with us. That obviously didn't happen and it was never going to happen. But of course, people that tried to tell Trump that were fired or smeared in the press. Let's go to this Tucker Carlson video. Did you guys bring it in? It was the latest one that I put in, Tucker's response to Israel's war. Let's go to that.
So whenever something big happens, particularly something really big, like a war that will change world history, the first four questions you have to ask are these. One, why did this happen? Two, what was the point of it? Three, where does it go from here? And four, how do we respond? So let's assess the war in Iran, now ongoing in its second day, and try to answer those four questions. First, why did this happen? Now, in this case, there's a really simple answer. This happened because Israel wanted it to happen. This is Israel's war. This is not the United States' war. This war is not being waged on behalf of American national security objectives to make the United States safer or richer. This war is not actually even about weapons of mass destruction, nukes, chem bio. No, this war is waged purely because Israel wanted it to be waged. Now, why say that out loud this early in the conflict? Isn't that dispiriting for, say, American troops fighting this war? Yes, it is. And we thought a lot about whether it was wise or decent even to say something like that out loud, and have decided that it is for the following reason. First, because the truth is always the only basis for wise decision-making. When you lie to yourself or you lie to your people, you not only commit, well, a kind of moral crime by lying, but you also tend to hurt yourself. Hubris is the product of lies, for example, and get way over your skis if you're not honest with yourself and the people around you about what's happening and why it's happening. But long term, that is also true. In other words, it's important to say why this war is happening because 50 years from now, people may not know. Your grandkids may learn that this war started because the Ayatollah showed up in Miami and started machine gunning people in a shopping mall. And so we responded. There was a kind of Iranian Pearl Harbor. You don't know what the future will believe about the present. You don't know how history will be written. And if you're skeptical of that, if you're asking yourself, well, how could historians, popular historians, how could future culture so misunderstand something so big? How could people lie about something so obvious, so giant? Well, history is your guide. A lot of the big events we think we understand, including wars from the past and not so distant past, are completely distorted in our memories. In other words, that's not actually what happened at all. And the truth is, if enough people lie about something at a high enough volume, and they do it for long enough, loudly enough, while threatening anyone who refuses to lie about it, over time, their lies become conventional wisdom. Everyone believes them. there is something about repeating a lie over and over and over again that's almost like a spell or an incantation. It's almost a form of witchcraft.
Yeah, of course, he's exactly right. I mean, this is just a classic idiom of propaganda. You repeat the same thing, you keep it simple. And this is why sloganeering works. This is why they use it so much. They repeat the same thing over and over and over. It's especially useful if the slogan itself is sort of self-contained, self-evident, because then you don't have to, you know, provide any further information, right? You don't have to prove your claim. It just exists. Like, Iran wants to kill us. And it's like, they want to kill us. They hate America. They chant death to America. Like, that's it. That's the... But I think he's sort of missing a part, because it's interesting what's happening here. Typically, they put forward some sort of lie in order to go to war. Most people fall for it because the mainstream media is in on it and provides the argumentation and provides the fake back and forth where the fake two sides are, you know, established as if, you know, well, I agree, but, and I agree, but, and then you have to decide which way you agree. And so that works, even though there's people like us out here going, there are no weapons of mass destruction. They don't exist. It's a lie. It just doesn't filter up to the wider public. And so that is believed. The war begins. By the time the war is over, that narrative has been entrenched, and it's really not going to change anytime soon. Even if now you go around and ask, I think a majority of people in America would recognize that we were sold the Iraq war on false pretenses. It kind of doesn't matter anymore. The history books say there were weapons of mass destruction, or at least there was a mistaken belief of weapons of mass destruction. So the difference about what's happening now is they're not even giving us that excuse. They're skipping the middle part. They're kind of vaguely coming up with reasons that we could potentially want to go to war with Iran. None of them are really true. None of them really stick. They're sort of A-B testing them. None of them land. So they just went, okay, never mind. We're just going to do it then. The reason? Pick one. Doesn't matter. We just want to do it. We just want to do it because, you know, Israel wants freedom of action in the Middle East, and it's, you know, good for them if America is weakened in the process. I mean, we've been over all this over and over. We know the real reasons why it's happening. But the stated reason from the powers that be that are actually carrying out the war, they're just not giving it to us this time. Now, you might think that this is a mistake. You might think that this is some sort of, you know, oversight that means that they're not doing their job well. No, I think they realize that they don't actually need to convince us. I think they just went, hey, we're going to try to convince you. And if you don't buy it, we're just going to do it anyway. And 50 years from now, we're going to write the books. We're going to produce the documentaries. It's going to be our mainstream coverage that goes into the archives. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They have decided that it doesn't matter that whether or not we're into it, whether they can sell it to us. They are just playing the long game, and they're going, yeah, everybody's mad right now, but they're not going to do anything about it. We're going to wage this war. We're going to kill a whole swath of them. At the end of it, we're going to write the history book. So we'll just backfill whatever happened. Doesn't matter. He says, you know, the Ayatollah was, you know, shooting machine guns in Miami. Like, it could be something as ridiculous as that. But they haven't even tried to give us a real reason, which is like a little bit terrifying. And then when they do try to give us a reason, it is so utterly incoherent and nonsensical and just contradictory and backwards. And it's crazy what we're witnessing here. And in a way, I almost feel bad for the, I mean, not really, because they're supporting a senseless war of aggression that is just suicidal on a national level. But people like Anna Paulina Luna, she's going out there to champion the Trump administration, and she's got absolutely nothing. She's got nothing to go on. She's got no arguments to make. She's just going out and humiliating herself, and it's very embarrassing. Let's go to clip 18 here. Things got heated between Representative Luna and a news host over U.S. actions in Iran. And again, it's like, this is so pathetic. This is so pathetic that we can't even get our messaging right, let alone actual legitimate justification for war. Here's Anna Paulina Luna trying to say this isn't even a war. What? Let's watch.
Did we not just invade?
We are not invading. Are you seeing boots on the ground there? Because I'm not. And so I've been told directly by the State Department
and the
White House
that
that's
not the
ground. Intention.
I mean, we just killed
that's
the leader
what an
of
invasion
the country.
Is.
That's not... Okay.
Targeting so, strategic military strikes and invasions are two totally different things, according to military
They're calling it a war. The president has called it a war.
And targeted airstrikes.
Strategic strikes. Yeah. And according to the White House, and I just talked to them and talked to the Secretary of State, strategic strikes are not war.
Really? So if someone bombed America,
do you see
that
boots on the ground?
War? That makes no sense. So you're saying it has to be boots on the ground?
According to your own definition,
so that's your standard.
The regime
of
Iran has killed thousands of Americans and murdered them. So by definition, they've already declared war on the United States.
I've had missiles raining down on me, too. I know how
terrible the Iranian regime is.
We are not debating that they are a truly terrible regime. What we're talking about is the standard for the commander-in-chief to commit our sons and daughters in the military to war, and going to war when it is in the national interest, and making that case to America, and going to Congress and getting approval for war. So you are saying this is a limited mission that is only bomb strikes, so there is no congressional authorization necessary. How is this different from when Joe Biden bombed the Houthi rebels in Yemen without congressional authorization, and you oppose that?
Well, it's different because we're bombing Iran and starting the Third World War in the Middle East. It's way worse than anything Joe Biden ever did. So again, what is she talking? If this isn't a war, I mean, yeah, okay, there are not boots on the ground yet, but we're saying that there are going to be. We're sending soldiers to the Middle East. The assumption that they're going to be used in Iran, and like even if we don't put boots on the ground in Iran, is it any better to have some sort of weird Syria-style, like ISIS, Kurdish, Turkish takeover where we just shatter Iran into a bunch of infighting groups? Like, this is just retarded. This is all retarded. And again, Anna Paulina Luna is out there saying things that she just has no way of backing up whatsoever. And this, to me, is the strangest thing, where it's like, it's one thing if you just don't have an answer. It's another thing if you have an answer that's a lie. But to have an answer that is self-evidently a lie, that does it, like, makes less sense than just saying you don't have a reason. You'll see what I mean. Let's go to clip 29 here. This is Anna Paulina Luna, and she just made the statement there in the video you just saw. Iran has killed thousands of Americans. It's just like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? Who are you talking about? Who was killed? When were they killed? Why are you just saying this stuff? This is what I mean. If you're just saying, well, you know, whatever, because we can, we're going into Iran, we're going to destroy it because we don't like them. It's like, all right, that's not a good reason, but I don't exactly have proof against it. I can't argue with you. Okay, yeah, we want to go in there and destroy them. Okay, fine, I guess. I disagree, but well, what am I going to say? But in this case, they're making claims as if they're justified. Well, they've killed thousands of people, and then it's the simple question, like, what and when, and we have nothing. It's, like, worse than just not having a reason to do it. The reason is just a blatant and ridiculous and embarrassing lie. Let's watch.
Can you just tell me really quickly, where have they killed thousands of Americans in America?
I didn't say they killed thousands of Americans in America. I said that they have been responsible for thousands of Americans being killed. And I think that that's easily something that you can verify. I don't know, state-sponsored terrorism, for starters. Are you serious right now about that whole thing? I'm not going to list out exact specific locations they've literally been responsible for sponsored terrorism.
Are you talking about the Iraq war where the U.S. invaded?
You can start out by the three that they just killed. Okay, the whole point of your network, if you want to actually talk about the facts here, I'm giving you the facts. But I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about something that's commonly accepted and known.
It seems like you actually don't have a good understanding of the facts, Congresswoman. You don't have a good understanding of the conflict.
Well, I'm the one that's getting the briefings, not you. You're a pundit offering your opinion because you want clickbait, but I'm actually interested in the substance.
No, not at all.
We can talk about the fact that Obama sent millions upon millions of dollars to the Iranian regime. Or do you not want to address that because it's not supported by your opinion and your network?
No,
I mean,
not at all.
Is this really even something that we're going to actually get to substance here?
It seems like you just want to filibuster. It seems like you don't really want to have a good faith conversation.
Or you just don't like what I'm saying.
No, we would have invited you on the air.
This happens every time I'm on with you.
Yeah, you keep coming on every time, and you keep stating a lot of things that are incorrect.
Because
the United States launched an attack on Iran.
About it, except for you.
The United States launched a war against Iran right now. Iran retaliated, in which American members. You can call whatever you want to call it, but at the end of the day, the Iranians responded and killed three American service members. So what we're trying to get at is you make an assertion on this air that it's not an invasion when America sends fighter jets and Israel sends fighter jets into another country.
Boots on the ground are not going to happen. Congress will not vote on war with Iran because that is not something that we support, and that is not something that the administration
supports. That's actually
supports.
What the Constitution, but if you the Constitution talk about says that what, in Article 1, but I guess you think Article 2 is more important,
Article
so it's up to you.
Article 2 is when the U.S. citizens and our military are in direct imminent threat, the president reserves the authority.
Yeah, well, he hasn't made that case to the American public or Congress,
exactly,
and that's the problem. And that's why he's supposed to go to Congress.
He's not going to give you classified intelligence
information. He's not supposed to give it to me. He's supposed to give it to members of Congress. He's supposed to go give it to members of Congress. That's exactly why members of
Congress.
You're only one. There are 435 members and 100 senators, and others have not gotten it. You're not the only one who gets to speak on behalf of the American people.
Prior to the strike.
Anyway, unfortunately, we're out of time.
There was actually a briefing
with
the, there you go. You don't want to hear the facts. They got a briefing.
It's not a fact. I'm telling you what other members of Congress have said, and that's the whole point of them being able to have a debate in Congress.
Congress was notified.
That's not what members of Congress say, but really appreciate you coming on here and saying something different. Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
So again, I mean, you're honestly just like embarrassing. I don't know. Who are these thousands of Americans that Iranians have killed? Proxy army? Like, it's just these vagaries. They don't mean anything, but they're having to resort to this stuff because there is no real reason. There's no real reason. They don't pose a threat to us whatsoever. And again, when they try to, you know, justify this, it just makes even less sense than otherwise. Let's go to clip number 34 here. This is Ted Cruz talking about whether or not they're going to, you know, we don't have time to get to that one quite yet. Let's go to clip 35 here. This is Donald Trump in the middle of his speech about the Iran war. Just going totally off the rails. Let's watch.
See that nice drape? When that comes down right now, you see a very, very deep hole. But in about a year and a half from now, you're going to see a very, very beautiful building. And there's your entrance to it right there. In fact, it looks so nice, I think I'll save money on the doors because it can't get more beautiful than that. I picked those drapes in my first term. I always like gold, but I think we can save a lot of money. I just saved curtains. But, and it'll be spectacular. It'll be the most beautiful ballroom. I believe it's because I built many a ballroom. I believe it's going to be the most beautiful ballroom anywhere in the world. And when you hear all that hammering out there, you know why the First Lady is not thrilled exactly. She said, will the pile drivers ever stop? You know, they go from 6 in the morning till 11:30 in the evening. Can you imagine? Here? You know what? To me, that's a beautiful sound. She doesn't like it. I love it. You know what? To me, other than here, because we're donating it, not a penny to the taxpayer, it'll be under budget, ahead of schedule. It'll be $400 million or less. Most people say $400 million or more. No, it'll be less. But when I hear that sound, that beautiful sound behind me, it means money, so I like it. But my wife isn't thrilled. She said, this is getting crazy. I said, don't worry about it. We'll be all finished up in a few months. But now for the reason that we're gathered this morning to recognize the
Recognize the what? Sorry, wait, you know, you get to that last part. Sorry, are we not here to talk about the ballroom? Are we not here to talk about the ballroom? Sorry, we're here to talk about the fact you just started World War III, there's dead Americans and gonna be more? Then why would you spend 2 minutes on the ballroom? What was that about? Talks for 2 minutes about the ballroom. It's like, anyway, so I bombed Iran on Friday and I have no way out and this might bring our country down. Have I told you about the curtains?
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose. Absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted and get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I just got so much to cover. I'm just going to dive into it. I think Matt Walsh takes the cake today for the best tweet of the weekend, as far as I'm concerned, laying out the absurdity of the attack on Iran that America/Israel is waging. From Matt Walsh, so far we've heard that although we killed the whole Iranian regime, this was not a regime change war. And although we obliterated their nuclear program, we had to do this because of their nuclear program. Wait. And although we obliterated their, in June, we obliterated their nuclear program. But then we had to attack this time because of, you know, their nuclear program. And although Iran was not planning any attacks on the U.S., they also might have been, depending on who you ask. And although we are not fighting this war to free the Iranian people, they are now free, or might be, depending on who seizes power. And we have no idea who that will be. The messaging on this thing is, to put it mildly, confused. It's a bit confused. It's about the nuclear sites, although we destroyed those, but not really. But they might want to rearm them. But we were working towards an agreement. But they didn't want to make an agreement. But we were in discussions. But then we bombed those discussions. The whole thing is ridiculous. And it doesn't get any less ridiculous when you hear the people actually putting this on and calling for it and encouraging it and celebrating it explain it either. Let's go to clip 34 here. This is Ted Cruz. Again, just basically saying, oh, yeah, all that stuff about the nuclear weapon, that was never real. Let's watch.
Can you tell us now if you believe that there was an ongoing nuclear weapons program? One of the top arms control experts out there, David Albright, has written there should be an immediate priority on rapid response operations to secure Iran's nuclear stockpiles right now. Can you assure the public that it will be secured? And if so, who is doing it if there are no Israeli or U.S. forces on the ground?
So there is no doubt that a year ago, Iran had an active and ongoing nuclear weapons program. We took out the vast majority of that at the end of the 12-day war.
Where that Israel U.S. intelligence assessment was not made public, if that is what was briefed to you.
We launched targeted bombs at the end of the 12-day war, where we dropped the equivalent of about a third of a nuclear weapon on those underground facilities like Fordo, which is built into the base of a mountain. The bunker buster bombs we used, Israel doesn't have those bombs. No other country has those bombs. We took them out last year. The Iranians were still hell-bent on rebuilding them. And one of the things we are doing right now is taking out their missiles, in particular, the southern missile belt. Right now, Iran is building roughly 100 missiles a month. They're actively building missiles to threaten their neighbors.
And they're firing some of them right now at their neighbors, at our allies.
They're illustrating powerfully. They're attacking virtually every Arab neighbor that surrounds them. They are firing missiles at. It's almost like they want to illustrate to the world just how malign they are.
But in terms of containing the risk, who's securing the nuclear material that you say still exists within Iran? Who's doing that?
Look, the quantity of nuclear material, I didn't say anything one way or another on that. What I said is they were building nuclear weapons a year ago, and our bombing took that out. They also had an ongoing desire to rebuild them. I don't have present-day intelligence on what progress they had made towards rebuilding nuclear weapons since we bombed their facilities. I have no indication that they were anywhere close to getting nuclear weapons because our bombing was devastating. And Margaret, that's one of the reasons I urged President Trump, now is the time. You know, dictatorships survive because they're perceived as invulnerable. Yeah. And in this instance, Iran decisively lost the 12-day war that weakened the regime and set up what the president is doing now.
Ridiculous. It's that type of, again, sloganeering where it's just like dictatorships survive when they appear to be untouchable. And it's just like, is this a fairy tale? Do you think, like, what are you talking about? That is straight up fairy tale stuff where it's like, well, as long as we make the king bleed, then they'll learn that he's immortal or that he's mortal, and then they'll all give up and come over to our side. It's like, no, that's not how this happens at all, even a little bit. And everything I've seen has been, well, let's go to clip 10 and 11. These are gigantic pro-government rallies breaking out in Iran all over the place. Let's go to clip in 10-11 as B-roll here. So these are the pro-government Iranians gathering in solidarity with their government as they're getting bombed to smithereens. They know who the bad guys are. So what's happening exactly? Well, You killed 49 of the leaders of Iran. They don't seem to be going anywhere. In fact, they only seem to be upgrading and advancing their attack, just like they said they would, because we report on this forever. So again, there's Ted Cruz just like, yeah, they don't have any ability to have nuclear weapons, but that's not really what it was about. But it was kind of what it was about. It's what we told them it was about in order to get them into the talks. But then we actually said it was about their ballistic missile and their drone program, which they're never going to get rid of for obvious reason, because it's succeeding wildly. So in the first 48 hours of the war, Iran launched roughly 1,200 projectiles at targets in five countries. Most of them were drones. Tehran's strategy revolves around depleting costly American interceptor reserves by forcing the United States and its allies to use multi-million dollar air defense missiles against drones that only cost a few tens of thousands of dollars each. And again, it's working. It's succeeding. They are wasting our interceptor missiles, which we're already drastically low on. There were reports on this in, like, business news in December of last year we've not had time to restore our interceptor missiles whatsoever. Now they're deploying the laser beam thing, so that doesn't require as much ammo. But this is a war of attrition, and Iran has the upper hand in like a million different ways. So far, and I could show you compilations an hour long of major radar arrays in on American bases being destroyed. The base in Bahrain, the 5th Navy base, basically totally destroyed. Entire American bases destroyed in Iraq. Just massive damage to Tel Aviv and, you know, all over Israel, all over, I mean, the Gulf countries. And like, yeah, Iran is attacking their neighbors, but they're also attacking American personnel in hotels waging war against them under the protection of the neighbors. And the way the Gulf countries are responding is a little bit schizophrenic. First, they come out and are like, you know, we don't like being attacked. This is ridiculous. They're pissed in America, saying, hey, America had all of this missile defense, but it removed it from us to give to Israel to make sure Israel is protected. Meanwhile, we're getting hit. Since then, they've reversed. Now they're like, actually, we're mad at Iran and we're going to join the war against them. The whole thing is, again, just kind of absurd. And the question is, how much longer could this possibly go on like this? I mean, let's go to clip 17 here. You know, why not? This is just one thing that was released recently by Iran, and we can play this as B-roll. So everything you've seen so far, all of the damage I just described, all of the damage that you've been seeing on X and elsewhere, that was 1,200 missiles, okay? Iran probably has literally 100 times that at the very least, right? 1,200 missiles? 1,200 drones and missiles, okay? That's, again, literally nothing. They have tens, if not hundreds of thousands of these missiles. I don't know how long they could keep going, possibly indefinitely, considering the fact that they are producing these things at a pretty rapid rate and have been for a couple years and have gotten really good at it. So again, this whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. Let's go to, should we just look at some more of their confused nonsense here? Let's go to clip 37 here. This is Pete Hegseth crashing out about American men and women being sent to Iran. Let's watch.
American people also want to know what they're sending their men and women to war for. Is there a concern of this spiraling into a longer war? And then one for the chairman when you're done.
Did you not hear my remarks? I mean, we're ensuring the mission gets accomplished, but we are very clear-eyed, as the president has been, unlike other presidents, about the foolish policies of the past that recklessly pulled us in to things that were not tethered to actual clear objectives. So we know we have plans, we have generals, we have chairmen, we have commanders, CENTCOM commanders, Admiral Cooper.
So what is the goal here? What is the goal? You're going to get all uppity and condescending about old presidents that didn't have a clear goal. What is our goal here? Iran, the mission on Iran, as far as I can tell, has less of a goal than anything we've done recently. And to act offended that this question would be asked when you're the one sending American sons to die, it's just absurd. He's doing the best he can. Let's go to clip number 14 here. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth asked about Israel having a nuclear weapon, since this is all about Iran not being a rogue nuclear state, apparently, or at least it was at one point. Let's watch.
Iran has an ability to project power against us and our allies in ways that we can't tolerate. So whether that's ballistic missiles and drones, so offensive capabilities, effectively their navy, which would attempt to set other terms and impose different costs, drone capabilities, which we laid out there. And ultimately, though, this tying it back to Midnight Hammer, the president has been willing to make a deal. You can't have a nuclear bomb. Radical Islamists can't have a nuclear bomb that they wield against the world. He gave them every single opportunity. Then we precisely took it away. And even then, after that, they didn't have that. They didn't come to the table with a willingness to give it away. So ultimately, those nuclear ambitions, which never ceased, are something that had to be addressed as well. So that's a discrete sense of what's being addressed here to ensure that they can't use that conventional umbrella to continue a pursuit of nuclear ambitions.
Again, just completely absurd and contradicted by the American account of, you know, how this went down. Axios has a pretty thorough timeline of all of this. It's called 2 Months, Two Tracks, How Trump Chose War with Iran. I guess we'll just start from the top here. The joint U.S.-Israeli operation that killed Khamenei was the culmination of 2 months in which President Trump issued both diplomacy and war, pursued both diplomacy and war on parallel tracks. On Friday, he chose war. The crisis, which began with the public uprising in Iran in late December, was vintage Trump full of twists, last-minute reversals, and deliberate disinformation. Of course, to say that this started in December is just absolute and complete nonsense. I mean, it started 40 years ago. It really started in, you know, 1948, and then it accelerated in the 50s with the overthrow, and then the 70s with the coup, and then obviously the Gaza war leading up to the first Operation Midnight Hammer last year. I mean, to be like, this all started in December 3 months ago. The first thing that happened was 3 months ago in December. Okay, fine. The seeds of Saturday's operation were planted in late December when Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Trump in Mar-a-Lago. Anti-regime protests had just begun in Iran, and it wasn't yet clear how significant they would become. Again, I mean, I don't know why Axios is covering up for this, but the protests in Iran were about the economic conditions that were imposed on Iran, specifically by Scott Bessent, Trump's Treasury Secretary, who said his whole point of becoming Treasury Secretary was to inflict economic war on Iran to force their hand in negotiations by making their people miserable. Okay, so you sort of missed, you sort of left out that part about what inspired the riots and the uprising in Iran. On top of the fact that you had Mossad agents arming those people and trying to create massacres and coordinating this with Starlink terminals that was all discovered. So to rewrite what we just read, this all expanded in late December when the joint American-Israeli psychological operation slash economic sanction warfare against Iran forced them to the point of desperation where their people were rising up, obviously, again, being organized, coordinated, and armed by Mossad operatives and CIA to bring down the Iran regime from the inside, but that didn't work, so then they moved on. The regime cracked down with full force, killing thousands. Help is on its way, Trump wrote on Truth Social. But see, we've sort of given that up, haven't we? It's not really about the Iranians, is it? We're not trying to bring them democracy, are we? Exactly. So that was all a lie. Okay, great. So that was all a lie. That's wonderful. On January 14th, Trump was on the verge of ordering strikes, but pulled back. Instead, he ordered a massive military buildup in the Middle East and began secretly planning a joint operation with Israel. Over the following weeks, the Mossad director visited D.C. twice, followed by the Israeli military intelligence chief and IDF chief of staff, all coordinating what would become Operation Epic Fury and Roaring Lion. The other track, at the same time, this is so funny. It's like you pursued it at two tracks. No, one track was the war track, which is what they were dead set on and going to do. The diplomacy track wasn't a real track. That was a trick. It wasn't a track. It was a trick. There was no diplomacy track. There never was a diplomacy track. Nothing that Iran ever did would ever result in a diplomatic victory for America and Israel. We didn't want that. You can tell that's the case because every time Iran did try to come to the table, we changed the terms to something that was just obviously unacceptable to them, and then we blame them on talks collapsing. Or Israel straight up just like killed the negotiators. Trump's envoys, Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, were skeptical about the chance of getting a deal, but three U.S. and Israeli officials stressed that initially nuclear talks in Geneva were not a complete ruse. A complete ruse is what it says. The space missing. It wasn't a complete ruse. It's like 99% of a ruse, yeah. But like if they'd come out and been like, hey, we surrender, you can have all of our nuclear weapons and take us over, then yeah, we would have accepted that, right? It's like, no, yeah, the diplomacy was fake. It was all fake because we're just Israelis now. Like America has just become Israel, and we apparently just have no compunction about just flagrantly lying constantly all the time everywhere and then admitting it as if it's clever, as if we pulled something off. It's wild. They faced a specific challenge, keeping Khamenei from suspecting anything and retreating to his underground bunker. I skipped a bit. So Trump wanted to try to reach an agreement, and the Iranians were told explicitly that military strikes would occur if we did not see real progress on a real deal very quickly. A week before the Geneva meeting, the U.S. and Israel agreed on a potential window for launching the attack the coming Saturday when Khamenei held a routine meeting with his top aides at his government compound. But they faced a specific challenge, keeping Khamenei from suspecting anything and retreating to an underground bunker. Okay, so do you understand what they're saying? So they're like, okay, a week ago, they're like, we're going to kill Khamenei and launch attacks, but we have to maintain the ruse that we're actually in discussions and that there's a diplomatic solution that's possible in order to, you know, keep them in a false sense of security to, you know, maximize the efficacy of our disgusting betrayal sneak attack. So clever. They're so clever, aren't they? When Kushner and Witkoff traveled to Geneva on Thursday, they already suspected there was no deal to be had. They already suspected, like they don't know. Yeah, they were sent in going, yeah, keep tow them on, right? Keep them on the line. Keep the hook on the line, the fish on the hook. And not paying attention, not noticing that we're actually secretly planning to kill all of them as soon as they let their guard down. That's what they were doing the whole time because they're evil. I think it's because we're ruled by very, very, very evil people. Again, it's like, it's not even about this instance. It's about what they're willing to spend to get what they want, right? They just really want to get Iran. And so if they have to waste American lives, American prestige, entire military bases in the Middle East, they're perfectly willing to spend that. They're also perfectly willing to spend just like America's potential into the future, America's reputation overseas, ability to make deals. Like, who would want to ever make a deal with us anymore? They are screwing us over indefinitely, forever, perpetually, by just using us for the time being to get to achieve their ultimate and short-term goals. They do not care about America in the slightest. So I just want to make that clear. And again, why Trump is going along with this, I'll leave that for you to decide. One of the rules of deal making is you have to know very quickly if there's a deal or not, a U.S. official said in the room. The Iranians hadn't come close to the most flexible U.S. position. After the first session, Kushner and Witkoff called Vice President Vance on the secure line and told him the gaps were still wide. A second round that evening changed nothing. Kushner and Witkoff saw that the Iranian proposal was BS and only meant to buy time. A U.S. official said there wasn't any there to work with. But again, that you just told us that that's what you were doing. Like, what are you talking about? That agreement that Iran brought, that was just to you know, delay. You know, that's what you just admitted that a week before you'd already decided to kill him and that week of negotiation was all play acting to keep them in a false sense of security. So what are you talking about that that's what Iran was doing? I don't think that is what Iran was doing. I think what Iran was doing was really giving you as much as they possibly could. Because at the end of the day, they knew that you were going to attack anyway, and they didn't want to give you the excuse of, oh, they're being intractable and they're not wavering at all. No, they were willing to make a deal. They were negotiating a settlement. They were open to pretty incredible, you know, incursions into their sovereignty to deal with, you know, the threat of nuclear weapons. You just attacked them anyway. Just total betrayal. So again, I mean, that's what this whole article lays out. And it goes over and over and over. Because again, it just... it couldn't be more obvious. So officials said Iran had been secretly stockpiling enriched materials at the Tehran research reactor under the guise of medical research. Never once did they use any of the fissionable material to even make a single medicine. The official said it was all designed to deceive. This account is based largely on statements by U.S. and allied officials in the aftermath of the strikes and could not immediately be verified by independent sources. After Geneva, Oman's foreign minister flew urgently to Washington to meet with Vance on Friday in a last-ditch attempt to delay Trump's decision, but the president had already made up his mind, and when an Arab official asked Witkoff on Friday whether an attack was imminent, the White House envoy dodged the question. Khamenei convened his aides in U.S. as U.S. and Israeli planners had anticipated, and they bombed him to death. Well done. Well done. Now we have his grandson to worry about, so there you go. Problem solved, right? Let me just blow through some of these headlines because, again, there's so much. And I'm going to look to Brandon Weikert to help us, like, tie this all together and give us, you know, what is the latest. But here's what we got. Saudi Aramco refinery shut down after Iran drone strike. Now, this one, interestingly, was denied by Iran. Iran said they didn't do this. Iran said that Israel did this and is blaming it on them, which is interesting because they didn't deny anything else. I mean, they bombed the Palm Hotel in Dubai. I mean, they've bombed a lot of places that, you know, you would think they'd come out and go, oh, that wasn't us if it really wasn't them. But they take credit for all those. They are not taking credit for the Saudi Arabian oil field. In fact, the attack on Aramco oil facilities this morning was carried out by Israel and was a false flag operation from Monitor X on X. According to Iranian intelligence services, the port of Fujairah in the UAE is also one of Israel's next targets in this false flag operation, and Israel intends to attack it. This is going to Tasnim News, citing Iranian military officials. Again, I don't know if that's true, but it's a little weird that they would bomb all these places and then just come out to this one and go, whoa, we didn't do that. Well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I trust Iran more than I trust Israel at this point, so I'm going to go with Iran on this one. Khomeini's death brings Khomeini's grandson into focus. A grandson of Ayatollah Khomeini, the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, is likely to figure prominently in the deliberations of the clerics who will determine who replaces Ayatollah Khomeini as supreme leader. The killing of Khomeini, 86, in a U.S.-Israeli attack has brought new urgency to the question of who will be the next supreme leader, a long-simmering issue over which there has been no clarity despite his age. Khomeini, 53, holds symbolically important role in public life as the custodian of his grandfather's mausoleum in southern Tehran. He has also served in government, or he is... Does it say no? He's never served in government. Some politicians inside Iran see him as a rival to hardliners who gained sway under Khomeini. The case for installing a moderate successor to Khomeini gained momentum among some Iranian politicians in the wake of unrest that swept Iran in January as a means of showing up the Islamic Republic in the face of widening dissent. But if I had to guess, now that they're under, you know, brutal attack by Iran and America, they're probably going to pick a hardliner. It's probably going to get worse, if I had to guess. If I had to guess, they're probably going to choose somebody who makes Khomeini look like Gandhi, and this whole thing will backfire severely, and that was probably the intention in the first place. Israel deploys Iron Beam laser defense system for the first time ever. Mike Huckabee praises game-changing innovation. That's right, folks. They're not Jewish space lasers. They're ground-based Jewish lasers, okay? Israel launches waves of airstrikes across Lebanon after Hezbollah fires rockets into Israeli territory. And then there's this from CNN. Timing of Iran attack, quote, bears symbolic meaning in Judaism. The timing of the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran bears symbolic meaning in Judaism. Ahead of the upcoming Jewish holiday of Purim, worshipers read the specific portion from the Old Testament known as the Zakor. And basically they're saying that, yes, this is sort of a Jewish mysticist Kabbalah ceremony that we're all engaged in, sort of a human sacrifice. For, I guess, the coming of the fake Messiah and the Antichrist. So, you know, Purim seems to be when all of the wars in the Middle East start, and this seems to be guided by the, I don't know, spiritual underpinning of the Israeli regime. It's a little weird. That's a little odd that they'd be bragging about this, this type of thing you typically see. You know, neo-Nazis talk about, but no, it's Israel themselves and CNN reporting what a brilliant and amazing thing it is. You ever notice all of the Jewish holidays are about them killing everybody? You ever notice that? You ever thought about that for a little bit? Ours are like, Jesus is a baby. And theirs are like, they tried to kill us. We killed them, all of them.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.